Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into another Combo Mo episode. It's your girl Mo Diggs, okay, and I'm here with the family, the gang.
Gang, gang, gang.
Gang.
We still working on it, y'all. We still working on it. Today, okay, we got some juicy topics. Oh, well, I didn't even introduce you guys. I feel like it's just so regular. You guys know who's here. It's Lindsay and Lawrence. But Lindsay, say what's up to the people.
What's poppin', beautiful people? It's your girl, Lindsay, a.k.a. Crown by Grace, on all social media platforms. No E in the crown.
And Lawless Lawrence.
Hello, my beautiful kings and queens.
I wish you guys could see me. Like, when he says that, I'm, like, Millie rocking. Hello, my beautiful kings and queens.
Get into the rhythm.
Get into the rhythm, okay? Today we got a lot of juicy topics. It's a lot going on, okay? If you anybody, who's anybody, and not under any form of a rock, you guys obviously know there's a lot of drama going on. But today we're gonna be mainly talking about building up a man, okay? It ain't build a bear workshop, it's build a man workshop, okay? And the things that come with building a man, whether or not you should build a man, when to build him up, when to put the shovel down, all that stuff, okay? But first off, I want to obviously address the fact that they still have not arrested the cops that killed Breonna Taylor.
Go get them.
If this does not show you that black women are the most disrespected beings on this earth, I don't know what will. It's been months, y'all. Come on. It's gonna be half a year. I'm scared. I don't know how long this is gonna last. And meanwhile, the attorney general is over there getting married to who knows what.
We saw them on Twitter.
A mess. Child. Like, what is you doing? Like, I just feel like, do you even care at that point?
Obviously not. Like, he's living his life.
I feel like at that point, you might as well get a top hat and some tap shoes and start tap dancing for Massa.
Oh.
Because, no. I mean, if this is the person that our fate is in for Breonna Taylor, I mean, it's a damn shame. But keep signing the petitions, y'all. And keep fighting and keep protesting. And hopefully, you know, keep praying as well. Yeah. And hopefully we're able to get some justice for her family, because the reality is, like,
it shouldn't have happened.
And we really need, like, it's like, oh, people are saying arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor, but, like, you know, you got to think about the fact that, like, her family needs justice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, her family needs justice, and it's just a daggone shame. I mean, it's the worst. Like, but anyways, In other news, this is not even another good news, another crazy news. Have you guys heard of what has been going on with August Alsina and Jada Pinkett and Will Smith?
Who don't know? And if you don't know, you want a social media pass.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you guys don't know, recently, August Alsina got on an interview with Angela Yee. And started talking about, you know, how Will Smith gave his best blessing for him to be in a relationship. Now, this is the headline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I watched the clip. I didn't watch the whole thing, y'all. I'm just talking based off the clip. It basically sounded like August was saying that Will Smith was like, yeah, go ahead. Like, you know, I'm giving you my blessing to kind of be with my wife. Now, with this, there's also a new clip from the Red Table Talk that has resurfaced where Will Smith was like, you know, I gave Jada the okay, like, go and do what makes you happy and then come back. And if that stuff, whatever that is, actually makes you happy, let me know.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, people are just pulling a lot of content from different places. We don't know what's going on in these people's lives, actually. So we're just kind of assuming right now. Based off of what is presented to us, you know? And so it's looking like, is Jada the girlfriend? Is Jada the auntie? Or There's even like, is Jada a predator? Like, I don't know if you guys have seen that narrative. Because they're saying, like, you know, she may have like taken advantage of him when he was in a really vulnerable space. He's so much younger than her. And it's also like this thing of, you know, the roles are kind of reversed. If the roles were reversed and Will Smith was dating someone that much younger, it's like Twitter would have been in a frenzy. Because I was a little bit concerned when like the first narrative was like, why he talking about their business instead of like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. What do y'all think? Lizzie, what do you think about this whole situation?
You know what? I don't know if I don't know what I think about it, to be honest. I think that, like I've just been seeing everything that's being said on Twitter. I also saw another clip of the Red Table Talk where Jada was talking about how, like, you know, we might be in this house together. You might be on one side of the house with somebody else. I might be on one side of the house with somebody else. Under this house. And so people were saying, so was that her kind of like tiptoeing around the fact that they have like an open relationship? I mean, people are going to do what they want to do for their relationship. I can't really speak to how they decide to maneuver in their marriage, but I think that, yeah, the age thing is definitely like, it definitely raises an eyebrow, like, I don't know if that is healthy, like, especially for him. And it also makes me wonder, like, how old is her eldest child? You know what I'm saying? Because you are
just making it to like 21 and they just making it over the drinking age for him and Willow.
So it's like, you're kind of like, you were comfortable being with someone who was that close in age to like your child,
your
like
children.
That's a little questionable. But other than that, I just have questions. I don't really have an opinion, to be honest. I don't know what I
think. No, I think I actually feel like, I think I feel the same way too. Like, I don't really have opinions because we don't really know the facts.
Right.
But I do have hella questions. Because I'm like, what is this?
And I think that also makes you think, like, how did your mom advise you on this? You know, like, because her mom be at the Red Table Talks and just hearing how they talk about their relationship, it's like, Mama Pinkett, like, what do you got to say about this? Like, this is your
working on the man.
This is your whole child. Like, you know, what's going on here? Like, how do the children maneuver? Like, it's just a lot of questions.
What's crazy is, like, in the video, you can see her mom literally was like, that I told him it was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. I feel like they're really, like, on their, I don't know. I guess she kind of like, y'all wrong. Like, I ain't finna tap into y'all extramarital issues. You know what I'm saying? But what were you saying, Lawrence?
I want to speak to your point about how people responded to it. And I'm just like, are we honestly surprised at the double standard when the roles are switched and it's a woman that's in the role of, in an abusive kind of role, if that is the case? And then, I think for me, my biggest like questions or hope that out of all of this is that, you know, August finds love, because obviously from the video, he has some kind of love for her, their relationship, for that family. And so obviously that's not happening. So he's going to have to get over it and find somebody else to be with, and then getting to a place of a mental space. I'm hoping that this wasn't a moment where Jada was predatorial in that, because we have video of where she mentions that she was helping him during a rough time when he was messing around with Percocets and different things of that nature. So hopefully it wasn't that, and it was just maybe a misconstruing on his end of, like, you know, love for a mother becomes the love of a love for.
But they've also said that he's talked about like lack of motherly love or something, so I don't know if that also like plays a role, you know, into like, it's just like how if you say like a girl has daddy issues, like in some way, shape, or form, it affects her relationship with men. Like, I think that if that is definitely the case, then you can kind of have a understanding as to like why like the dynamic is twisted the way it is a bit.
Yeah, and then I could definitely see how a conversation of Will quote unquote giving his blessing could somehow get misconstrued. But see, I don't want to, you know, believe one and then call another a liar, or believe one and call another one a liar. So I know eventually, sooner or later, somebody is going to either come on the red table or a tabloid or something. Truth is going to be revealed. So
they said Jada going to have to call herself. She going to have to put a mirror. They said she had to put a mirror on the table, y'all.
You know what would be interesting, though? Sign it. Like, I think it would be interesting to see, like, if all of this gets taken to Iyanla. I think that would be really interesting.
You know I love a good episode of Fix My Life.
Yeah, Lindsay's like, no, we don't need the red table. We need to take it to another table. Hey, we want to bring it to a whole other table.
We're going to take it down.
Okay. So you know what the reality is, we're just praying for the best for August, and just hopefully he's able to get the help that he needs to, you know, move forward in his life. Yeah. Now, on to this is kind of in relation to August, because it's like how to build a man. We are not laughing at what he is going through. We're just laughing at
it was just a really good joke. Sorry, play on words.
Okay. My associate producer brought up this topic of just the concept of like building up a man for someone else. Shout out to you, Shay. I don't know if you guys know, but shout out to my associate producer, Shay Breezy. She's a vibe. You guys follow her. But she came up with this topic, and I was like, she child. This one has layers, okay? This one has layers, because I feel like a lot of the time as women, we go through this phase of, is this the person that, you know, like, oh, falling in love with potential, and then trying to build up that potential. And so we're going to talk about when to build and when to put the shovel down. And even if as women, should we build someone up? What does it even look like?
Yeah.
So let's get a clear consensus of what it looks like to build a man. What it looks like to build a man, like it, in the concept of this conversation, is just literally like they're nothing. They're ground zero as far as like, you know, not even ground zero, but they're just kind of like, they're not really where they need to be in their life. You know what I'm saying? And you are there really pushing, helping them with their career, helping them maybe spiritually, mm-hmm. academically, however you can, financially, however you can help them, you are there helping them. And they are growing from you helping them. So that's what building a man looks like to me. What does that look like to you, Lindsay and Lawrence? Lindsay, first.
To me, I think building up a man looks like kind of how you said, like he I think he's just there. Like he's not working towards anything. You don't know if he got like, maybe he has aspirations and dreams, but he's just like not motivated, like in terms of character, in terms of spirituality, like you're really the one who is like the driving force behind him trying to get things right and get it together. And so it's not even one of those things where you guys are both helping each other, but you're the one doing all the pouring out type of thing. You're the one doing all the heavy work in order to help this person be where they need to be in life type of thing. And so that's kind of how I envision building up a man.
I agree, because I feel like there is a view in the connotation of like how you view the word, because technically in a healthy sense, we're supposed to build in every relationship that you know that you're in. But I feel like in this scenario, it's when a woman feels like she can either change a man or she makes a man her project. And I feel like we see that kind of like that particular scenario in movies. I remember in that Love Don't Cost a Thing, not No Love Don't Cost a Thing, Two Can Play That Game. Mm-hmm. And one of the friends, remember, had picked up one of the homeboys off the street. And she had hooked him all the way up. And then when he finally got his confidence together, he rolled out with some other floozy.
Yeah.
And she was ended up being hurt. And so I question if that is truly building if you're the only one building.
Mm. So let's leave it as far as structuring this conversation. Let's have it be that scenario, because that scenario happens a lot more than spoken of. You know, even Kanye West and what he get on, he leave for a white girl. Okay. So let's talk about it from that perspective, because I feel like when to build, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're having the question when to build a man, is when, like you said, Lawrence, when you guys are building each other. It shouldn't be somebody is building somebody and someone is the other person is just being built, you know? It should be you're giving blocks, I'm giving blocks, you know? You're giving me the shovel, I'm giving you the shovel, you know? We're both pouring into each other, building each other so we can both be leveled up, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's you're helping me financially, I'm helping you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and we're both being built up in different ways. Or sometimes it's both, like we're both building each other up, you know, mentally or physically or emotionally, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with relationships like that, because that's honestly the structure a relationship should be. You guys should be both building each other in some way, shape or form. If somebody should be bringing something to the table, okay, you know the vibes.
Yeah.
Now, when to put the shovel down. Okay. That moment is when you realize you're the only one with a shovel.
That's it.
And the hole that you dig it is your grave.
Oh, Jesus.
There it is.
Oh, Jesus.
No, like, actually envision that, though. Because the reason why I'm so weak is because I'm really envisioning, you know how, like, when there's, like, a pot, right?
Yeah.
In order to put the dirt into something, you got to pull it from somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are pulling it from your own grave.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, I'm working on my relationship. Dude. Putting in all that work.
I'm actually crying.
No, that's
like that's the at this point. All right, y'all, that's the end of the podcast. We going home now.
because
that's it. Case closed. Like, if you are the only one with a shovel, and you realize that. That person is getting full. That person's, you know, plot is getting full. And you look back and your hole look a little more empty and empty every time you pull. Like, you thinking you building this big old house. You look back and there's a big pothole in the ground.
Mm.
And let's just think about it realistically. So, like, and we don't have to do it like what is it when it's not realistic? It's
metaphorically.
Metaphorically, there you go. Always got to keep a Lawrence on your team, okay? So let's think of it metaphorically. Let's think of it realistically instead of metaphorically. So you're in a relationship, you know, this guy every day, can I get some, and I always use money because it's easy to visualize.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get this for gas? This guy's tank is full every day. Meanwhile, you can't even buy yourself your Birkin. Like, huh?
Miss Birkin, like, bag.
Hello. And I'm always gonna bring up the Birkin because, like, hello, you can. You said what?
I said you prophesying it into your life.
Literally.
Oh, y'all gonna shoot. Don't have me pull out my. I'm gonna wear it on. I'm gonna wear it as a chain. What did you talk about? I'm gonna put it in a frame. Put it on the wall, on top of my bed. But yeah, like. I just feel like if you realize that, like, this person is depleting you, put the shovel down. That's it. On to the next topic. Yeah. And this is still relevant, but you know, you see that you have built this person up. Cause let's even talk about like Insecure. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We watched, did you watch Insecure,
Lindsay? No, ma'am.
All right, well, let me give you a little synopsis. So basically,
spoiler alert.
If you haven't already watched the show, been off the air for about 3 weeks. Like, come on.
Late alert.
Okay, so if you haven't been watching Insecure, you know, basically, like, Issa built Lawrence up. Like, she didn't build him up, but she was really there in his grind time. Like, when he was really doing, I'm a stay-at-home dad with no kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he was doing in the house. And so then when they broke up, he then leveled up. And Issa kind of just felt like, oh, or not even like Insecure. What's that one movie? Matrimony? No.
Oh, Acrimony. Acrimony. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Acrimony is the perfect example of when you build somebody up for someone else.
Yeah.
It's a spirit that want to keep you attached to them. You got to let it go, baby girl. You got to let it go. Yeah. You got to cut that tie because it's gone. And what you're doing is, as far as, like, staying attached, trying to stay attached to that person, because look at Issa right now. Even Issa, now she got her baby. He about to have a baby with somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you ain't watch this,
the Lawrence
condone. Yeah, mm-hmm. Lawrence got pregnant, mm-hmm. and now he back with Issa, mm-hmm. like Issa wanted. But now she about to have baby mama drama. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she could have been somewhere else with another man, happy, because her career is flourishing. She don't need to be with Lawrence. You know what I'm saying? It's like you may be blocking your blessings, trying to get back this man that you built, you know what I'm saying? Because in Acrimony, hopefully you don't end up like her, because she just dead.
Yeah, she
you know what I'm saying? That's the extreme case.
So then we hope, we pray you don't get there. That's literally digging your own grave.
That would be
oh, Jesus, fix the God.
No, that's literally the definition of digging your own grave. Bruh, this digging your grave thing, I don't think I'm going to be able to let it go. Like, that was really funny, Lawrence. Oh, man. I wish we were in the studio. But anyways, mm-hmm. I can't wait till Corona's over. Like, I'm ready to be back in the studio, y'all. I really am. I'm sick of this. Anyways, back to the topic at hand.
I'm dead. Right.
Sorry. I just had to, like, think about, like, my past and just, like, when we used to be able to see each other. Like,
and I think that's the problem in these particular quote-unquote relationships, is that we're focusing so much on the past. It's a difference when, like, I feel like it was different with Issa and Lawrence, because I forget what the girl's name. All I know is Condoleezza. But when she addresses to him and just like, if she never would have cheated on you, would you still would be with her? And he had to come up to this like realization that, you know what, I still have feelings for this person. I still care about this person. I still want to be with this person. And Issa equally so, even though I've been in these other relationships and even though I cheated, I really want to be with this person. And so then you have a conversation and you get back together. But then in their case, a new issue arises. So now it's like, okay, so we've deaded something that was old, right? And we are in a new thing. But now, you know, another issue arises. And so I feel like, but in cases where you're not together and it's no hope for you, you're never getting back together, you got to be able to get, like, stay out of that place of the what ifs. And I know it gets hard, because then when you go on Facebook and you go on social media and you see them with their new boo.
Okay. I like that. All right. Let's get into how to deal with the breakup when your ex moves on first. We got two subtopics, y'all. So this is number one. And I think Lawrence, you the segue king, sir. you really segging our way into these different topics. Okay. How to deal with a breakup when your ex moves on first. So, like in Insecure, we saw, you know, well, then again, Issa was kind of moving on in different ways. So we're going to stop talking about them. We just going to talk about it in general.
Not the best example.
Yeah, they're not the best example. Okay, that show was a little, we're not going to talk about that either. So let's talk about, how to deal with a breakup when your ex move on first. We got some tips. I want to go over each of these tips. Cutting off contact. You know I'm really big on that. I'm a part of the block ministry, and that's what Eric did, okay? I am block ministry gang. Yeah. I was just telling them about, like, a situation with, like, the only person that I could possibly call my ex. When I saw them, they hadn't moved on, but, like, I saw them at the gas station or whatever. I'm sure they had moved on, because you'll hear from the result of this. I had seen them at the gas station. This was, like, I don't know how many years ago. And I looked up. I said, oh, shoot. My heart dropped. I went back to the house. I'm like, don't text him. Don't text him. Don't text him. Child, I should have blocked him. I texted him. I said, hey, want to talk? His big old girl, no. I said, I was like, you need to cut off contact. It ain't none for y'all. He was moving the right way. I was moving the wrong way. He was like, shoot, y'all finna move on first, okay? It's really important, I think, for you to cut off contact with people, because I just feel like, especially if, like, even if the breakup is amicable, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if the breakup is, like, clean, you guys are cordial, I just feel like there's no reason for you guys to be in communication. Like, what is there to talk about? Your future? It doesn't involve them. What is there to talk about? Are you going to talk about, you know, the weather? Like, no, don't. They don't deserve access into your life anymore. And that is okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with protecting your space. And you also shouldn't be reaching out to them casually. Like, there's nothing, and especially if they move on first, like, let them have that. You know what I'm saying? Let them do, and focus on yourself. The next one that I want Lawrence to touch on is letting go of the fantasy. What? Expound on that, Lawrence.
I think sometimes I think about that part in Sister Act where she told us she couldn't sing in the choir. She's like, do you want to be like your daddy? Singing your shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And so sometimes we think, we'll see them and we'll think, oh, we're supposed to be doing that. That's how it was supposed to be when we were together. Or, you know, or especially if it was like a situationship and you never really were a relationship. And then you actually see that person, not in a situationship, but in a relationship now.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, oh, if we would have still been together or still in that situationship, then I would be in a relationship right now. Mm. And like staying in that place, it is not healthy. It builds anxiety. Mm. You can even have a panic attack with that kind of foolishness. Anxiety, jealousy. You know, and you just over here in a false world that's not even reality.
Yeah. It doesn't even exist. Yeah. Okay, Lindsay, making peace. The third tip is making peace with your past. Expound.
Lord. So funny enough, I like when we talk about like breakups and like moving on, like I try to pull from like my own experience, of course. And honestly, I really haven't really been in that many relationships in my lifetime thus far. But, like, the two that I can think of, like, I remember, like, my first boyfriend ever, just moving on. Like you said, number one, I definitely had to block, cut all the communication off. And then when it came to, like, making peace with the past, I think this one can sometimes be difficult because, as we've mentioned, you can live in this type, like, in this mindset of, you know, what if I hadn't done this, or, like, I regret doing this, that, and the third, or, you know, like, I wish I hadn't done this, but, sis, it's already been done. Like, you cannot, there's no way to go back and change the decisions and the actions that you made. The only thing that you can do is learn from it and apply it differently when you get into the next relationship. And I think that that's the beauty of the things that we go through, and even how, like, the Bible talks about, like, all things work together for our good. Like, you know now how to respond or how to act when you see the relationship going in a certain road, I guess, or a certain way. You know what to do, what not to do. And so I think that you just have to take the experience, learn from it, grow from it, and now you have wisdom in how to apply it into a new relationship, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Definitely, I think a key is definitely making peace with your past, because the reality is, the making peace with your past, just like you kind of said, is it's a moment of self-reflection, you know, and facing the reality of, like, what happened. And I love to be like, I always be like, damn, I was so dumb. Like, and sometimes it sucks to have those moments, you know?
Yeah, but they're necessary.
But they're necessary to also just, like, see your growth. Another tip, Lawrence, you might gotta do this one, is it's okay if you still love them. And obviously it is, but I can't speak to this because I hate all my ex. Like, not just saying. But Lawrence, go ahead. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's to still have love for somebody, and just in a sense of respect, in a sense of, you know, when you finally have made peace with a situation, in a sense of just like, you know, I did learn some things. We did. It wasn't like, because obviously it wasn't all bad, or you would have never been with them. Obviously, it was something about that relationship with them that drew you to them, that allowed you to respect and to build and to just see whatever positive that they gave you. Or maybe they didn't give you anything. Well, if you sitting there thinking, well, they didn't give you nothing at all, you know, but just, you know, being like, you know what, just having a sense of, like, respect for that time, for the time that was given and the lessons that were learned, positive or negative. And then allow that to fuel what's next. Or even, like, if it's still fresh, you know, it's okay to grieve. Like, dealing with the loss of something is no different than losing a job or moving away or losing a friend or a loved one dying. Yeah. Something is gone that was there. There was a connection that was there, and it's no longer there. Yeah. And so it's okay that, you know, some of those feelings may still be there.
Yeah. And our last tip, as far as how to deal with your breakup when your ex moves on first, is love yourself more. Forgive yourself. I think a lot of times, like, this is, like, one of the hardest things. I always talk about how I put this reminder in my phone, and I still keep it in my phone. It's been, like, 7 years since I first put it in. But it at the first of the month, it always tells me to love God, love yourself before you love anyone else. And at first it was like a reminder. It was like a monthly reminder of how long I had gone without talking to my ex. And then it became like a monthly reminder to, like, love God, you know? And then it became like a monthly reminder, like, are you loving yourself? And now it's like a monthly reminder of, like, how much I've grown from that very moment. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know. It's definitely, like, that's key. Like, that's a little tip, I don't know, to help you, you know, but definitely love yourself more. Like, try to love on yourself more, because it hurts to, you know, let things like that go. But if you think about yourself and what's better for you and your emotions and your mental being and your future, you'll realize that it's important for you to let go of that relationship. Not even let go of the relationship, but ignore the negativity that comes with the breakup, or that comes, those feelings that come with, you know, seeing your ex with another person. It's like, you know what? I love myself so much that I realized that you weren't that good for me anyways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Hopefully you'll be good enough for her, but I am content with being where I am. You know what I mean? Without you. And also just like stop stalking them on social media. How you even know, how you know your ex moved on? Who told you? Where did you see that at? How did you see it on Instagram? Hmm? Somebody showed you. Or you went to go check your weekly checkup.
Yeah.
Okay. So stop stalking them.
Your weekly checkup. I'm dead weak.
Child. Cause I'm talking about, I used to be making fake pages. I used to be okay, but we thank God for growth, and we thank God that I'm with a man that I don't got to do that with now, okay? Yeah. Just get rid of that. I want to talk about the second subtopic is that what to do when you still have to see them. So this is not including stalking them on social media. This is like, you know, they are in church, or you know, they are in your community.
Yeah. At your job. You know,
they at your job.
They in your family.
They in your fan. Wait.
I hope not.
We all got a cousin Faith.
Wait. I don't even at this point. Lauren, you lost me.
Y'all ain't never seen what's that movie, Soul Food?
Yeah, we have. We only watched it once. That's enough.
Oh wow. Okay. Shout out to the black people listening to this podcast.
Lindsay's like, actually I've seen it like 6 times.
No, I know
because they put on BET all week.
I've literally seen it. And that was like,
yeah, I've actually
2018. So,
yeah, I've actually only seen it once, and I think it was like a while. Like, that's an old movie, right? Like, I feel like it was when I was a youth. I was a youngin.
When you're at your job, when you're in your car.
Okay. Lawrence, what are some tips that you have when you still have to see them?
I don't know what to tell you. You better duck. You better, especially if it's at church, you better keep your eyes on Jesus. You hear me? You better keep your eyes on the cross. Look to the hills which come of your help, because your ex is somewhere different. You better look to the hills. I'm all over DVD. No, but I think it does take a level of maturity. A true honesty of being like, hey, let's take some time. Even if y'all have to discuss, hey, you go to the 9 a.m. service and I'll go to the 10. Hopefully you're not in one of them small churches that only got like 5 folks. But, you know, just having that, I think, a healthy discussion about what it is and going forward and what you need. And then if not, just, you know, sitting somewhere else or sitting on the front row. So all you gotta do is look at the past. You know?
Yeah.
And not making things, you know, extra. Like, don't put yourself in predicaments where you know you're gonna be triggered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then,
I feel like, oh, go ahead.
And also doing self-talks or breathing or whatever you gotta do to just get you through the moment.
Right.
Yo, I remember, like, there was, like, a situation where, like, you know, I was, like, talking to this kid at my school. It wasn't, like, a relationship or anything like that. But I was really, like, tied to them emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I literally had to walk around campus with a Bible.
Mm.
Like, a physical Bible in my hand, like, to remind myself that, like, this person is toxic.
Mm.
I swear, yo. Like, I'm not even being dramatic. Yeah. Like, and when I think about it now, that's so damn dramatic. But it's like,
what you gotta do.
I'm talking about drastic times, call for drastic measures.
That's it.
Period. Mayday, mayday.
That's it.
Mayday, mayday. This is my white flag. This is my white Bible. Okay. I need help, Lord. You said draw nigh unto you. And you will draw nigh unto me.
You better abide.
Okay.
Under the shadow of the Almighty.
Wait, I don't know if it's because it's so late. Like, why are we geeky right now? But yo, I literally was like, nah, bro, like, this, you're not gonna catch me slipping, okay? And so, it's definitely important to just do what you gotta do, okay? Like, do what you gotta do, yo. Like, I'm telling you, people are gonna call you crazy. People gonna be like, oh, da da da, ooh, they doing the most. No, like, you, son. Do what you gotta do. If you gotta walk around with that Bible every day, if you gotta put tents on your car windows, if you gotta sit at the front, if you gotta sit at the front of the pulpit, if you gotta stop going to that church, okay? Like, do. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you listen, online service, okay? Corona, hello.
Well, praise God, you ain't gotta stay. You gotta be a 6 feet distance anyway.
At this point, we talking hypothetical now. Lizzie, what you think, yeah?
So interestingly enough, I had two friends at my church recently. They like they were dating and they broke up, and like I was just like, oh my god, like this is gonna be super awkward because our church is about so big, you know, and they both kind of serve in a capacity where they kind of they have to interact with each other, and so I think that. Like, initially, it's going to be a little awkward. I think that's a given. I think it's almost inevitable. But I think that the important thing is boundaries. Like, you really got to know how to set boundaries and protect your space and your mental health and your mental well-being. So, like, I know that I actually had another friend who he and his girlfriend at the time, they had broke up, but they were going to the same church because she had introduced him to the church. And so after they broke up, she was like, basically, I don't want you to keep coming to my church because I brought you here and this is my space. So I think you need to find your own space, which was fair. It was just like, dang, that's kind of harsh, but like, it's fair. Like, you know, do what you got to do to protect your space. But I think that you, like if you guys have to interact, like, I know that, how do I say, like, you want to make sure you keep it at a minimum, you know, like you keep it high by like whatever needs to be discussed will be discussed, but after that we're not talked, like we don't have anything to say to each other. And it's not because of like, it's not coming from a place of like pettiness or anything, but it's really like you need to protect your emotions, you know, like Lauren said, like you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can be triggered. And so even the fact that you guys have to interact or see each other is triggering enough, so you want to make sure that like you're really setting up boundaries. I think that like that's the best advice I can give, and I don't know how to tell you to set up those boundaries. You know what works for you, but girl, put them boundaries in place, you know.
And don't make it awkward, because I just feel like people, like when they be like, you know, make the conversation short, they be like, hello, like, and it's something like this, like bye, and kind of like short attitude type of thing. You got to just treat them like they are a regular person on the street. Be like, hey, did you get on the email from pastor saying they were moving to the foyer at 3, da da da, woo woo woo, all right, thanks John, have a good day, and move it at that, like really business conversation, and do what you got to do and roll out. It ain't gotta, we don't have to like less granted it may be hard at first, but don't make it seem like a huge feat, you know? Make it as, if you got to pretend like that person is your cousin or one of your homegirls, you know, to whatever you got to do in your mind, I'm just like, this is like, I just, you know, I'm trying to get business stuff done. Because what you don't want to happen is allow somebody to affect your, A, most importantly, your relationship with God, B, your money, C, back to number one and number two.
Your relationship with God and your money. Okay, hello. We need the money. Hello. Nah, it's facts. I agree, honestly. And so, let's see. We talked about a lot today. I didn't even know we was going to talk about all this. Shout out to Shay and shout out to Lawrence for coming up with this run of show, because this is some juicy, juicy tea, okay? I don't even know what's that. Okay, so, first things first. Pray for August. Second, only build a man if he building you up too. Mm-hmm. Third, don't be like Issa. Don't be like Issa. We gave you the tips to how to deal with your breakup if your ex moves on first. Don't ghost them. We need to talk about ghosting, but we're going to talk about that another day. That's another conversation for another day.
Child. You said don't ghost them?
Don't. Well, like, don't ghost. It does, like, there's a difference between ghosting and cutting off contact. Mm-hmm. But sometimes ghosting is, see, that's why I said we need to have another podcast because.
Part two.
Part two, y'all. We're going to talk about ghosting and whether or not it's godly. Anyways. What to do when you still have to see this man that you have built up? Don't be like Taraji, okay? But what are y'all like wrapping up? Like what are y'all final thoughts on everything? Let's start with you, Lindsay.
I don't know. I think that we've said all that there is to say, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pass it over to Lawrence.
My last few thoughts would be. I think it's so important that as a woman, you are with a man who handles his responsibilities and who is willing to be a leader in serving you as well as you, quote unquote, building and serving him as well. And I just think that if there's no level, if there's no respect, if there's no honor, if there's no reciprocity happening, then I think there needs to be some evaluation of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for anybody that is, you know, trying to go through a breakup or dealing with the fact of trying to deal with the grief of the break. And the different things that come along with it. And even the feeling like that you failed. You just really gotta do that. I think it's so important to forgive yourself. And I saw this quote on Instagram and I'm gonna end it with this because I feel like this is like the quote of my, it's been a quote for me for a really long time with some of the things that I've gone through. It's just like about self-forgiveness. And forgiving yourself for the things that you did not know. And so there were some things that you did, positive or negative, that you just didn't know. And it's okay to forgive yourself.
Period. That's pretty much it. I think Lawrence hit the nail on the head. And we always go, Lawrence got that juice for you, that sauce. Okay?
I let the spirit use me.
Hello. But that's it for this episode, y'all. We're trying to get back on our schedule. Hopefully this comes out on Thursday. But if it don't, forgive me. Okay. But if it do, expect for the next episode to come out next Thursday. Okay, you heard. But that is it for this episode. Don't forget to follow me at Modiga. Lindsay at Crown by Grace, as well as Lawrence, plug your podcast in because Lawrence is rebooting. He's just rebooting his podcast.
Back, y'all. A Seat at the Table podcast. You can listen at wherever your favorite podcast is heard. And I know it's a Convo with Mo, so we everywhere you heard a Convo with Mo.
You know the vibes.
And you can follow me at A King Since Birth. And my Instagram page for the podcast is at True, spelled correctly, Light, LITE Productions. Thanks, Mo.
Oh, duh. Oh, that's every day. Okay, don't play with us. Play with your kids. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Once again, it's your girl, Mo Diggs. And make sure you guys follow at A Convo with Mo on Instagram. And hashtag at A Convo with Mo to join the conversation on Twitter. And what else? Leave reviews and like and share with your friends and all that stuff. All right. Because we can't grow without y'all. All right. Bye, guys. We're ending the pod in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.